All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. And I want to continue our study on the subject of the church. We are looking at our 50th anniversary of Church the Open Door this November. And we'll be celebrating our 50th anniversary. We'll be saying a lot about that as the year progresses. And if the Lord does not come back before then, on November the 5th, Sunday, November the 5th, we will have our 50th anniversary of Church the Open Door. And a lot of things are going to happen on that day. Dr. Smith will be back, and then Pastor Fellenbaum will be here. He is still living, and he will be here. Dr. Smith is still living, and he will be here. And I hope I'm still living. I plan to be here, but we're going to have a great day on that Sunday, and. So I thought it would be a good idea, and we started this several months ago now, looking at the subject of the church. We have looked at several aspects of the church, and I want to show you something tonight that I trust will be a blessing to you. We'll start in verse 14. And these are very familiar verses. Everybody knows these verses. And, okay, Joyce, Ephesians 2:2. It just popped into my head. I'm sorry. Ephesians 2:2, okay? All right, verse 14. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 6. It says here, be ye not. Now, ye means y'all, okay? All right, all y'all. All right, so be ye not unequally yoked. So that means you. That means me. Be ye, that's the individual. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And the answer is none. Okay? Then he said, what communion hath light with darkness? And again, the answer is none. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Belial is the devil. And the answer is none. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Somebody who refuses to believe. That's an infidel. Somebody who refuses to believe. They just say, I'm not going to believe that. I refuse to believe that. That's an infidel. And the answer is none. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? None, for ye are the temple of the living God. Now, you remember in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul asked the church in his first epistle to them, he said, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So here again, he reiterates that fact that as a believer, as a Christian, as a born-again child of God, the word ye, meaning you, meaning me, ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. All right, let's pray. And then I want us to look tonight at the matter of an unequal yoke in the church. All right, the unequal yoke in the church. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you now for our time together tonight. And I pray for your blessing to be upon us as we look at these verses and as we think on these things. And Father, I pray that you will guide my thoughts tonight and help me to say what I need to say. Give me a clear mind and Lord, just help me to say what needs to be said on this sensitive subject in such a way that it is not offensive, but it is clear. And Lord, may we learn from what we hear this evening. And I pray that your word will just give us a little bit better of an understanding of why we do what we do here at the Church of the Open Door. So Lord, bless and help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I want to just talk to you tonight. I try to help you see a couple of things about the church. I'm not going to do anything to help you listen tonight. So I'm going to ask you if you will listen on purpose, okay? But I want to help you to see a couple of things about our church and why we do what we do. Now, I've brought the Constitution in here on a couple of occasions, and I have read to you where our Constitution very clearly states that the Church of the Open Door is an independent, autonomous, self-governing church. We make our own decisions. We do not belong to a convention of churches. We do not have any governing body sitting in a boardroom somewhere in another state or in another city that makes our decisions for us. We make our own decisions. Now, here in these verses that I read for you, the Apostle Paul is admonishing the church at Corinth to stay separated from the world. All right, now would you agree with me that that's what these verses are saying? Would you? Is it not clear to you that that's what's being stated here? He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That's pretty clear, I think. He says in verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. All right, so what's the them? Okay, the them, if you will look at the analogies that are given here to illustrate the point, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, you will see who the them are. And the them, if you look at your Bible, verse 14, are the unrighteous. The them are the darkness. The them is the devil's crowd, the devil. The them, verse 15, is the infidels. The them in verse 16 are those that worship idols. The them in verse 16, idols. Yeah, verse 16, I said that, didn't I? So that's the them. I have tried to get you to see throughout this series of studies that there is the church, the true church, the New Testament church, and then there are the pretend New Testament churches. There are those that call themselves churches, but they're not. They're not. And so when you have a yoke, you have two sides. All right? You have two oxen. You put the one ox in the yoke and try to pull the yoke, it will not work. You have to have a second oxen in that yoke in order for that team to pull. And that's the purpose of the yoke, to give you more horsepower, more oxen power, if you will. All right, so that's the purpose behind a yoke, that you get more, you get a bond, and you get unity, and you get strength. That's the whole idea behind it. And what Paul is saying here to the Christian, to the believer, is that the believer is not to be unequally yoked with the unbeliever. Now, please understand, folks, this is clear. Wherefore, come out from among them. Who's them? The unsaved. Those that do, those that are not righteous, those that are not in the light, those that are that have not Christ, those that that do not believe, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now, don't forget what a church is. A church is a called out assembly. What has it been called out from? The world. It has been called out from the world. So be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now, listen very carefully. You do not have to come out from among them if you were never a part of them. Does that make sense? You don't have to come out from among them if you've never been a part of them. If you do not go in with them, you do not have to come out from among them. So that's Paul's point. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm not trying to be ugly here. I really am not. I'm trying to get you to understand the church, the open door. But all over America, churches that were once fundamental, that were once separated, that were once soul-winning, strong churches, have fallen by the wayside and today are just a mere shadow of their former selves because of this matter of separation. I don't know what it is. Well, I do know what it is. It's the devil's plan. It's the devil's trickery. It's the devil's guise. It's the devil's deception. And the devil does everything he can to weaken a true church and to destroy a true church. And how does he do it? Well, he does it through trying to get the church to yoke up with the unbelieving world. All done in the name of political correctness, all done in the name of unity, all done in the name of a good cause. And many, many, many a church has fallen by the wayside because they have gotten yoked up somehow or another with the unbelievers. Now, most fundamental Bible-believing churches do not go liberal first. You say, well, Pastor, what do they do? Well, there is a path that churches follow that eventually leads them away from where they were, and then liberalism overtakes them and swallows up their church. But most churches don't just go liberal first. They go down a path that leads them to eventual liberalism. Now, get this point. Before a church goes into liberalism, it first will go useless. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? How does a New Testament church become useless? Well, somewhere along the way, it allows something to interfere, to hinder its soul winning emphasis, its soul winning work. You see, the devil hates soul winning. He hates it with a passion. You remember the Lord Jesus warned the church at Ephesus that they had left their first love. They had left their first love. And the first love of any church, the first purpose for any church ought to be the seeing people saved from a devil's hell. And the devil hates it when a church has soul-winning efforts. He just hates it. He hates it when a church has a soul-winning program. He hates when a church runs buses and tries to reach children and folks with the gospel through the bus ministry. He hates it when when a church has a reformers program and tries to help people with addiction problems and win souls that way. I mean, the devil just hates a church that reaches out beyond its doors and stretches into the community. He hates it. So the devil is constantly trying to get a church to be useless. Now, there are countless ways the devil tries to do this. He will try to do this through the music program. He'll try to do this through the finances. He'll try to do this through the Christian school. He'll try to do this through infighting amongst ourselves. He'll do this through issues that come along. I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of ways the devil will come at a church. The admonition is here in this sixth chapter for the church and the individual Christian to come out from the world and then stay out of the world. That's the admonition that Paul is giving us here. If we do not want to lose the blessing of God upon our church, if we do not want to lose the fire of God upon our church, if we don't want to lose the hand of God upon our church, then we must make soul winning the main thing. We've got to keep winning folks to Christ. So that's the admonition here. You've come out of the world, now stay out of the world. Don't go back into the world. Once you're saved and you've come out from the world, stay apart. Don't go back into the world. Now, am I reading that wrong, or is that how you see it? That's how I see it. All right, now that means something. That means you can't get mad at me for what I just preached. I didn't write it. And yet this subject right here offends people like you would not believe. Yes. It offends people like no other subject. I do not want to offend you. I want you to understand the Word of God. And this is not me telling you don't go back into the world. This is God telling you don't go back into the world. Now, let me show you how the devil works
to try to get us to lose our independence, and how the devil tries to get us to compromise on what we believe so that we become useless. First, number one, he tries to get us to yoke with the world, with the unbeliever, for a good cause. Now, let me give you an example. In my first church, I was 22 years old, green as grass. I mean, just absolutely, I had no clue what I was doing. I will admit that. Now, at the time, I thought I knew what I was doing. But looking back on it, I had no clue what I was doing. I woke up one day, and my name was on the sign. And I was the pastor of the church. I had not been there but just a couple of weeks. And the phone rang. And there was a fellow from the local ministerial association in Glenville. And he was the spokesman for the group. And he didn't know any better. And I didn't know any better. He thought, now that you got to realize, there had never been an independent fundamental Baptist preacher in this town. That's why Karen and I went there. There was not an independent Baptist church in Glenville. And so I went to start one. And the phone rang. I had just been there a couple of weeks. We went there the 1st of March, and this fella called and said, I know that it's late in the game. He said, next Friday is Good Friday, and we're going to have a Good Friday service at the American Baptist Church downtown, and you being the new preacher in town, we want to ask you if you will speak. And I said, well, yeah, like that. I mean, I didn't know any better. And they didn't know any better, or they certainly would never have asked me to speak. And now, folks, honestly, I was green. I was so naive. And I asked the fellow, I said, how long do you want me to speak? And he said, oh, I don't know, 35, 40 minutes. I said, okay. So I preached at the Good Friday service on the subject of why all this happened on Wednesday. Now, I want to tell you, the lay people loved it. Now, all the pastors that were there, all the reverends were about to choke to death. But the lay people loved it. The lay people came up to me after it was up. The reverends wouldn't speak to me. I mean, that was it. I never saw another one of them to this day. I've not seen any of them. But all the lay people came and formed a line around me and said, wow, does that make sense? And I said, yeah, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Where's your pastor? Where'd your pastor go? They were all gone. I didn't know any better. And I later found out, when rumor got back to me, that they were ready to have a tar and feathering ceremony with me as their object of tar and feathering. And I thought, well, why? Well, you know, 40 years later, I now know why. But I had no business being there. I mean, it should be as obvious to you as it is now to me that I had no business being there. I took the truth of the Word of God and offended the whole crowd. Now, had they known, they didn't know what I was. And had they known, they would have never asked me to speak. But they did. All right, now let's come forward. It's like September the 14th, 2001. Now, you remember what happened on September the 11th, 2001. You remember that? 9/11? Okay, it's 4 days later. And I'm in the office on a Friday morning, and a fellow comes in to see me. And he is a representative from the Westminster Carroll County Ministerial Association. And I said, what can I do for you? And he said, well, he said, we had a meeting yesterday, and we want to have a 9/11 memorial service on Sunday night over at Westminster High School at the end of the month. And I said, so what's that have to do with me? And he said, well, I wanted to see if your choir and orchestra, and if you would support such an event, if you would bring your people, and we'll let you moderate the service over to high school on a Sunday night. And he said, Father so-and-so is going to do a reading, and Reverend so-and-so, a woman, was going to pray, and another Monsignor or something like that was going to read scripture. And we want to know if you'll bring your choir and your orchestra, and we'll let you moderate, and you bring your people on a Sunday night. What do you think? And I said, no. And he said, well, you know, it's not going to work if Church the Open Door doesn't come. I said, and sir, that ought to tell you everything you need to know. Well, we're not going to be able to do this unless your church is involved in it. We'll not have a crowd. And I said, well, I'm sorry, but we can't do that. And he said, but Pastor, it's for a good cause. And I said, no, we cannot do that. And he looked down and he muttered and he said, I told him you wouldn't go for this. And I said, sir, let me guess. In your meeting yesterday, you all flipped a coin and you lost. He said, yeah, something like that. And I said, all right, well, let me give you a plan. Let me give you something to take back to them. He said, what's that? I said, you go back and tell them that on that Sunday night, we will have at the Church the Open Door at 6 o'clock a huge 911 memorial service. He said, really? You have it here? I said, yes, sir. He said, wow. I said, yeah, and our choir will sing, and our orchestra will play, and it'll be a huge blowout. He said, all right, well, what can Father so-and-so do? I said, nothing. He can sit and listen. He said, well, what about Pastor so-and-so? I said, nope, nope, nope. I said, Pastor Campbell will read the scripture, and Pastor, what was his name?
Sterling
will do the music. I said, it'll be a huge blowout. Well, what about Monsignor? No Monsignors. No, we're not doing any of that. He said, well, now you know they're never going to go for that. And I tell you everything you know. Folks, do I need to interpret all this for you? Now, I get criticized because I'm not a member of the ministerial association. Let me tell you something, folks. They don't want me. I don't believe like they do, and they know it. And I have a command from Scripture right here. Be ye, ye means you, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, they're never going to go for that. I said, and neither will I go for what you guys are wanting me to do. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. Now, I know you are sitting here thinking, well, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And notice that Paul does not give any specifics as to what areas we are not to yoke up with them in. Which means we're not to yoke up with them in any area. Paul does not say, don't yoke up in religious matters. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, don't yoke up in political matters. He just simply says, hey, don't yoke up with unbelievers, period. Period. In any matter and for any cause. And yet all we hear from the world and from liberals is that we all need to unite and get together. And folks, the reason, listen to me now, the reason is because liberalism has already destroyed their own denominations and they have decimated already their own churches. So if they're going to do something good, they have to come to us to get the resources to get it done. All right, think, and you'll see this is true. Liberalism has never built anything. All it does is move into that which was built, and then it destroys it once it takes it over. It does that with churches. It does that with minds. It does that with politics. And if we don't separate from it, it will rub off on us. Now listen, folks. I can handle it. And probably most of you can handle it. If we were to have a big ecumenical service, I could handle it. I could sit there and I could listen to them and I could go, yeah, right. And then I could get up and just preach up a storm. Wouldn't bother me a bit. And most of you could probably handle it. You'd sit there and go, yeah, right. All right, hurry up and sit down. Pastor, you could handle it. You could be around them and it wouldn't faze you, wouldn't change what you believe. But the danger is what impact will being around them have on your children? You with me? You might be able to handle them, but maybe your kids won't. Let me take you back to the Old Testament. There was a good king in Judah. His name was Jehoshaphat. You remember him? And he had a son who would one day be the king when Jehoshaphat, his daddy, was dead. And then in Israel, same time Jehoshaphat was on the throne, a good king, in Israel to the north was an evil king whose name was Ahab. And Ahab was married to a woman whose name was Jezebel. And they had a daughter whose name was Athaliah. And what happened was a common cause brought Jehoshaphat and Ahab together. Something happened that changed the course of Judah's history. Something happened. And what happened was a common cause brought Jehoshaphat and Ahab together. And that common cause was an enemy, Syria, a common enemy, an enemy of Israel and an enemy of Judah. And an enemy brought them together. And Jehoshaphat was not taken in with Ahab. He saw through Ahab's false liberal religion, his false religion of Baal. He saw through it. He was not deceived. But something happened that changed the course of Judah's history. Ahab and Jezebel died a violent death. But Jehoshaphat lived a long and prosperous life and was greatly blessed of God for doing right and for keeping the nation looking to God. But here's what happened. While Jehoshaphat and his family were up in Samaria getting all chummy with Ahab and Jezebel to fight a common enemy, Jehoshaphat's son, a fellow by the name of Jehoram, fell in love with Ahab and Jezebel's daughter, Athaliah, and they married. And then Jehoshaphat died, and Jehoram became the king of Judah. And when he became the king, Athaliah came down to Judah, and she did in Judah the exact same thing that her mother had done in Israel, and she brought Baal into Judah. And it ended up being Judah's destruction. Now, Jehoshaphat could handle Ahab, and Jehoshaphat could handle Jezebel, but Jehoram couldn't. And it tore up his family, it tore up the kingdom, and they eventually were overtaken by the Babylonians because of what started with Athaliah. They had yoked up together for a good cause. Fighting the Syrians was a good cause. But look at the cost, folks. Jehoram married a woman who followed Baal, and she brought her Baal worship back to Jerusalem and ruined an entire nation. Now, folks, listen. Here's the application. Here's my point. I will not risk losing our church for the sake of unity for a good cause. I'm not going to do it. And people have gotten upset at me and, you know, Pastor, why don't we go down and march on Washington? Why don't we? Because we got soul winning and we got to keep our focus on. Now, I'm all for standing up for what you believe, and I'm all for conservatism. I'm 100% for it, but let me tell you something. I'm not going to leave this pulpit and become a politician. Not going to do it. We've got to keep the focus where it is. The bottom line says, my Bible says that I'm not to be yoked up with unbelievers. And that's why we do what we do. Fighting for our country, that's a good cause. That's a good cause. Fighting progressivism, that's a good cause. Fighting against abortion and against euthanasia and marijuana and pornography and fighting for the family and a host of other things is a good cause. But be careful, because you have an admonition right here in this verse. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And I am not about to yoke the Church of the Open Door up with a bunch of unbelievers. Not going to happen. That's why we do what we do, folks. You say, well, Pastor, what should we do? Well, listen, you know what the best way to fight these things, you know what the best way is? The best way to fight these things is this. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. You see, the way you save a nation is not by the New Testament church getting involved in politics, but you save a nation by the New Testament church praying and seeking God's face and repenting of sin and winning folks to Jesus Christ through the gospel. That's how you get a nation back. I don't like sitting down at a table with a Jewish rabbi who believes that Mary was an adulteress and that Jesus was her illegitimate son. I'm just not comfortable sitting there with him. I don't like to sit across from a Catholic priest who doesn't believe in anything other than rubbing a rosary and saying a bunch of memorized prayers. I don't like that. I'm not comfortable doing that. I've been stuck in some of those situations through the years, and I'm just not comfortable. I don't like being photographed with a bunch of reverends who believe in gay rights. I don't want my picture in the paper with that bunch. So I don't hang around with them. I don't want to be involved with a bunch that deny the deity of Christ. I don't want to be involved with a bunch that think I'm crazy for believing that you must be born again. You know why I believe you must be born again? Because you must be born again. That's not complicated. I had a fellow ask me one time, why do you say that? Because you must be. Now, folks, look at these verses one more time. The Bible tells us not to be yoked up with some things. We are not to be yoked up with unbelievers. We are not to be yoked up with worldly denominations. We are not to be yoked up with darkness or sin. We are not to be yoked up with infidels. We are not to be yoked up with unfaithful people. We are not to be yoked up with idolaters. And folks, once you start yoking, there is no stopping. Where do you stop it then? And the next thing you know, you wake up one day and realize that you are dead and your church is dead and your people are dead and your soul winning is dead and your preaching is dead. And then you sit there and scratch your head and go, how did I lose this thing? Where did we lose this thing? Well, you lost it the first time you stuck your head in that yoke. That's where you lost it. Oh, it might take 10, 12 years, 15 years after the first time you stick your head through that yoke and say, okay, buddy, you ready to pull? It might take several years down the road, but you'll eventually lose it. Oh, I could tell you some illustrations right now, but it would offend you. Yeah, there's a bunch of you here to get offended. Because I could tell you a name right now that every one of you know. Every one of you know. And I remember as a 28-year-old kid telling him on the telephone, I can't do this. Oh, yeah, brother, you can't. No. No, I can't. And I didn't. As a 28-year-old kid, I told him no. Well, everybody in the valley is going to get in. Not me. Not me. And it was to get Ronald Reagan elected president. Oh, I was 100% for Ronald Reagan. I mean, good grief. Ronald Reagan or Yogi Bear, which one would you pick? What was his name? Dukakis or something? I don't remember. What was his name? I don't remember. Yeah, Mondale, that was it. Mondale. Yeah, Mondale, that's who it was. And trying to get me to get involved. I said, no. No. And I said, brother, you better be careful with this stuff. And you know what he did? It wasn't long before I was watching his program one night, and he got up and apologized and said, folks, I told him I didn't think this was a good idea, but they just kept hounding me. And so I said, well, I guess we'll let you, I guess one time we'll see. We'll watch. We'll see what happens here. And he said, Now, I just want to tell you right now, hold on. Now, this, I don't know about this. And he shook his head and turned around and walked back. And a crew came out and took the pulpit and moved it and unplugged the microphones. And then all of a sudden, the lights went out and strobe lights began, lights zigzagging all over the building. And out came DC Talk. Rapping for Jesus. And I sat there on my couch Sunday night, 10:20. I looked at my watch when that happened. I thought, good grief, I'm going to bed. I ain't watching this. DC Talk. And when it was all over, lights came back on, and you could see the shock in the staff. The staff was sitting there going, are you kidding me? Oh, how the mighty have fallen. The next week, hey, brother, hey, we're sending a group over your way to promote the school. Can we come? Nope. Mm-mm. Well, why not? I saw your program Sunday night. Oh, well, you know, we just thought we'd try that. And I said, yeah, what are you going to try next? I'm done. And that's it. I was done. You know how many times the devil has said, hey, Norris, I need your help right here. Put your neck right here. Just put your neck right here. You know how many times that's happened? Come here. Put your neck right here. Oh, man. And it's a constant battle. It never stops. And you know what Paul said? Be ye. And I'm just going to take that personally, and so should you. This is not written to the pastor. This is written to you. I just don't want to wake up one day and realize that I'm dead, my church is dead, my people are dead, my staff is dead. My school is dead. My workers are dead. My choir's dead. I don't want to sit over here and scratch my head and say, wow, how'd this happen? How'd this happen? And that's why we got to stay right on track. Just doing what we're doing. Knocking on doors, passing out tracts, giving the gospel. Preaching the gospel, preaching the Bible. Just keep it going. All right. You're not mad at me, are you? Don't be mad at me. I'm trying to help you, not hurt you.